Credit Whitworth University with good timing this week. On Monday evening, President Beck Taylor interviewed Ali Nirani, the head of the National Immigration Forum, at a public event on campus. The National Immigration Forum bills itself as an organization that, quote, convenes a broad constituency from across the country in constructive conversation and dedicated work to advocate for the value of immigrants and immigration to the nation. It just so happened this chat came on the same day the U.S. Senate began debating immigration issues, and so the issue is fresh on people's minds. We'll spend a few minutes listening to excerpts, starting with Beck Taylor's question.
But what is it about the last, say, 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. where, I mean, I don't think this was the topic of conversation at Whitworth 5 or 6 years ago, yep. the way it is today. What is unique about our time in the American mm-hmm. story? Why has yep. immigration risen to the top?
Well, I think, first of all, as the country has become more diverse, it's not just more diverse in California or New York or Florida. You know, now the fastest growth in the foreign-born population is in the Southeast. You know, I know in the Spokane area, you've seen a growing level of diversity in the schools and throughout the region. And that wasn't happening 10 years ago. It wasn't happening 8 years ago. It's really I don't want to call it a phenomenon, it's a reality of the last 5 years. And those demographic changes are challenging us. They're challenging those of us who have been in a community for decades, and they're challenging us who are coming to a community in more recently. And what I've found is that all of us have to change as a result. And do we have the leadership within our communities to help us navigate that change? And I think that a lot of us grew up thinking that our politicians would help us lead that change. But as our politics have changed and have become even more divisive and polarizing, it's harder and harder for an elected official, and I'm talking from a city councilor to a member of Congress to the president, to help a country or a community navigate that change. So I think that, and what I ended up writing about, and I think what we do as an organization, is to find those leaders in a community, the pastor, the police chief, the professor, the business owner, to help communities navigate that change. Because now that change is happening in places that we never expected it would.
Ali Nirani says his organization, as an immigration advocate, has been working for years with traditionally conservative sectors, evangelical Christians, law enforcement, and business. The goal is to find common ground and solutions that all can support.
I want to talk about evangelical Christians for just a moment. Self-described evangelical Christians, as you know, voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump. And yet what you're finding is that among many of those mm-hmm. same self-described evangelical leaders, Christian leaders, you're finding a receptive audience
right.
around smart, compassionate, grace-filled immigration reform.
Right.
Why is that? Why do you see support mm-hmm. for Trump in the polls, and yet you're finding some traction on immigration?
So we've been working with the conservative evangelical community since 2011, 2012. And what we've learned is that pastors, they don't want to talk about policy, about immigration policy. They certainly don't want to be in the business of talking about the politics of immigration. But they want to be able to talk about is why it is important from a scriptural basis to care for the stranger. Why it is important from the perspective of scripture to keep families together. Why immigration is a question of life. So for us as an advocacy organization, we needed to understand what was the kind of the comfort zone. And so we built a level of trust, and more than that, on our own part, we've built a level of understanding. So we get to the election in 2016, and I would say, you know, at least half of the folks that we work with in the faith community, if not more certainly, ended up voting for President Trump. And they would say, you know, I voted for President Trump for X, Y, and Z reason, but I disagree with him on the question of immigration. Now, over the course of 2017, in the first year of the administration, with the exception maybe of the travel ban and other kind of high-profile issues, it was hard for a pastor at a national or local level to take a public position and kind of challenging the administration. I think as we went through the summer and into the fall, and it became more clear what the consequences of the administration's action around immigration was going to be, we found the faith community more willing to engage in the debate. So we've seen this building of kind of support for Dreamers from the conservative evangelical community that gets beyond politics. And I think from our perspective, you know, immigration isn't an economic issue, it's a social issue. And that's why I think the faith community is increasingly important.
Let's talk about badges.
Sure.
Why would local law enforcement be interested in this topic, and then why would they come alongside you for smart, rational immigration reform?
So one of the people we've gotten to know is Art Acevedo. He's the chief of police in Houston. His family came from Cuba as refugees. Grew up, enlisted in the army, got injured, had to leave the army, was chief of police in Austin before in the last 2 or 3 years, got the job in Houston. The administration comes into place, they begin to kind of beat the drum on sanctuary cities and really cracking down. Art Acevedo says publicly, he's seen the rate of sexual assaults in the Latino community drop 34%, while it stayed flat or increased in other communities. And he says the only reason that's the case is because the Latino community in Houston is afraid of local law enforcement. So this is all wrapped up into the debate around sanctuary cities and whether or not local law enforcement should be enforcing immigration law. So I completely understand the importance of sanctuary for the immigrant community, the importance of feeling safe and secure. But I also understand how the term sanctuary rattles people who are outside of a city or outside the immigrant community. So the way that we look at this is that I don't want to live in a sanctuary city, I want to live in a safe city. A safe city is where every cop on the corner can do their job and serve and protect everybody. And the only way they can do that is if they're trusted by everybody. So the reason, and this is very similar to our work with the faith community, is that we spent the time getting to know law enforcement. We spent the time of sitting down across the table with Republican sheriffs to Republican attorneys general to Democrats and trying to understand why do they care about this issue. And then making sure that we as an organization, me as a leader, were respectful of that perspective. And then modulating our policy perspective, policy language, and our personal language to, again, meet people where they are, but just not leave them there.
So we've got Bibles and badges, businesses.
Businesses.
What's the business case for smart immigration?
So the easy answer here is that the business case for immigration reform is access to a skilled, thriving workforce, for example, in 2015. 28% of businesses in the U.S. was started by immigrants, or 40% of Fortune 500 companies were started by immigrants or children of immigrants. Those are great talking points, right? You sit there, I agree with you. But there are also terrible talking points, because I know that if I am worried I'm going to lose my job, if I'm worried that somebody's going to compete for my job at a lower wage or my job's going to go to another country, I hear that talking point, and I think, gosh darn it, that immigrant is going to, I don't care if they started 28% of jobs or businesses, they're going to take my job. So that's why I think from a business perspective, it is really important to speak, that business leaders are speaking to the immigrant workforce as a part of their community. And it's not just somebody who works at a business, but somebody who is part of the PTA, going to church, and really trying to humanize the immigrant workforce beyond just being kind of a cog in the wheel. And I think we have a tendency to fall into that trap, particularly in the economic perspective of just quoting statistics.
Ali Narani is the executive director of the National Immigration Forum. He was speaking Monday night with Whitworth University President Beck Taylor at an event on campus.